This week on the Push Bullets podcast, we talk about a stag, the blitzers, protein bars, and some recovery protocols. We also talk about some horrific Instagram.
Three, two, one. Paintballing hurts, Daniel.
Hey guys, welcome to the Push Pull Legs podcast with myself, Damik.
And me, Tom Hall. What's going on?
I wish I could shoot you with a paintball gun. That's something I'd love to do.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been paintballing together.
Yeah, we have been paintballing together. Yeah, but it was quite new into our third base careers, I believe. And 1.5 years in or something like that. And then, we went and we decided to be like friends. But then what we also decided to do, because I vividly remember it, because there's one lad, obviously, that was a guy called Greg, who was captain fucking like military, and army man.
Yeah.
He brought two of his own guns, didn't he? He brought two of his own guns, and we were like a bit keen. And then he's 6'5" maybe, built like a shit ass. And then we basically just sat behind about 20-30 yards behind him and just keep taking pop shots on him. He was like on our team, the same team. That's what I remember us doing.
We're the little dickheads.
We can't pass up this opportunity to take pop shots at this guy that we're never going to be able to any other time. So that's us. But yeah, paintballing is fun. Basically, guys, apologies for last week. I condensed all of my work into about 2-3 days, and it kind of overran me. And because I was on a stag, and I took
it's always all Tom, by the way, guys. It's never me. Like, I'm always like, I'll drop anything to do these podcasts for you because I realize how important they are. Tom is prepared to just be like, nah, sack it off this week. Not bothered.
We did get a couple of messages, like, because I did like one of those question answer thingies. And obviously, always Alex Krajewski listens every week, doesn't he? And he was like, where the fuck were you? Like, apologies.
Let people down, you see. It's you letting people down. It's not me. Like I said,
I took a day off on the Thursday where I did nothing, and I was just like, I'm taking a day off.
So he could have done it on Thursday.
Dan could only do after 8:30 p.m. and I was like, mate, I'm shagged.
Just busy checking in all day with clients. I don't take days off on a Thursday. Don't happen, mate. Unfortunately,
I did that because I was in the middle of a 12-day week, mate, and I was assessing and lecturing. And workshops like all the weekend. That's right. The weekend was good because there was a lot of people doing their level twos and level threes that unfortunately they had me as an assessor. He's not one of your clients, is he? But I know he's doing your shoot on the weekend. Old Neil.
Mike's client, yeah.
He's Mike's client. He's doing your shoot because he was saying that he's doing that. He's lost an astounding amount of weight, right?
I think over the time he's worked with Mike, it's been a hell of a lot. I think
he said something like, so one of Mike's clients who's going through with the PTC, just did level two. Past that, he's going on to his level three. He knows what he needs to work on. He's a lazy bastard and he doesn't walk around his clients enough looking at what the... I was like, number one...
He's probably fucked from doing the photo shoot. He's probably got no energy. That's probably why.
I was like, number one...
Give him some calories and he'll probably do it.
You didn't demonstrate your cardio, you lazy cunt. Then number two, you didn't walk around the client constantly like a lunatic that I am. That's where I get my steps, guys. You think I'm weirdo for getting that many steps. I just walk around my client constantly, checking the angles. He's lost... Hats off to Neil. I think he listens every... He said he's listened to every single one of our shows. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Fucking hell. Really. Get a life.
Like, Jesus. And then he's lost 30 to 35 kilos. I was like... You know, Neil, I know you're listening, but you know how I could tell that you've lost... And fair play, you look good now. But you know how I could tell that you had lost quite a bit of weight? And the telltale sign is somebody who was probably quite large and has come down to look like as lean as he is. His calves are fucking huge. They're big boy calves. Hey. Like, he does not need to train calves ever.
That's it, mate. I love a good set of calves because I've got all right calves, to be fair. Yeah. So like I do appreciate a good set of calves. But I got the same question. Oh, how'd you get them? How'd you train to get them? I didn't. I just have them. Like I played football. Maybe that helped a little bit, and I was slow rather than quick. But I genuinely have no idea. But he's obviously, we know how he's got his. But I'm seeing him this weekend at the shoot. So yeah, I'll be there this weekend.
Yeah, look, check out his calves. Like, because there's a predisposition. Obviously, people who have maybe been overweight for an extended amount of time, guess how much load is going through their calves? Quite a lot. So never do calf raises with your obese clients. Probably don't need it. Every time they go up a step. They're doing a calf raise. Hats off to Neil, mate. There you go, you've got your own little segment, Neil Jones appreciation. He was like, oh, I could have got leaner. I'm like, you've lost over 30 kilos. Like,
yeah, joking, right? We'll get a picture of his calves. I'll get him a picture of his calves.
Take the win. I was on a stag do, mate, so that was fun. That's why I was hurting from my paintballing, and I did an assault course, didn't I? Lads. 17 of us there was on this stag. That always 17. Good. 17 lads, half of us military. Not me. I'd never been in the military.
Surprised you were allowed in anywhere.
Mate, so it's the most awkward thing, all right? Just people who may have stag dudes or hen dudes going anywhere. So we went to Cardiff. And obviously, what you had to do is, like, you're only allowed tables of six at the moment. And they wouldn't let you in if you turned up as a group of, like, so we were 17. And then if we said, oh, can we have three tables of six, please? Because we're all going to split up. They'll be like, no, you all turned up together. It's like that whole kind of you're going clubbing scenario. If you're in a large group, you're not getting let in. So it was like you had to kind of pretend that you didn't know each other. And we were tactically, like, moving tables, like, to go near each other the whole time. And then, like, if one person was standing talking to one of the other tables for too long, we'd be told off. In this weird world where bouncers and people in bars and stuff have way too much power, it's like there's no other place. It's like, well, this is so odd.
This weekend with the shoot, we couldn't book anywhere because they won't let anyone, they went more than six in. So we've got like, there's like 25 people want to get some food, and it's just stupid. I'm just so dumb with it all now. But
because you can only
so is the whole world, apparently. So is fucking Boris Johnson, apparently.
Boris is like this.
But as a 19th, it doesn't exist anymore. Just crack on with your life. And I'm like, okay, Boris, will do, mate.
Good lad. Yeah. Crazy, isn't it? So yeah, it was fairly annoying, like getting in places and doing that kind of stuff. Well, the most annoying thing, so we eventually got kicked out of the sports bar that we were in for the England game, obviously, on a Saturday. So 17 lads, we're all like England fans, bosh, we're in Wales. And you know why we got kicked out? So we got repeatedly told off all the time by bouncers, by the waiting staff. And then do you know why we were getting told off?
Because you stood up without a mask on or something stupid.
So we weren't really we did stand up every now and again, but because we were singing, we got told off for singing and chanting. Because obviously we're singing and it's coming home, right? Every single time we score.
You're spreading those particles, mate. You're spreading those particles.
Yeah. It was just like, and then,
face mask on if you want to sing.
And then like the waiter was like, do you understand we're still in a pandemic? And we're like, so no singing in the pandemic, right? And it was like, no singing. Like, yeah. Like, well, can we sing with our masks on? And he was like,
Just make up rules.
Absolutely.
Just make them up.
And we're like, what's the point? I don't understand. And then, like, obviously the lads were like switching. So we were like kind of like going from table to table. And then the bouncer cottoned on and he was like, no more switching, against the rules. And we're like, doesn't matter. Like, always six at a table. We're just interchanging. It's like, Jesus Christ. We came down in two mini bands of nine people. So yeah, we're fine. we've mixed enough. We're all sharing a room, one room in the hotel, all 17 of us. yeah, but it was interesting. If I was, and
two more weeks, play, it's all done, mate.
Fair play to the best men for organising that. It must have been an absolute piss take trying to organise a stag during COVID. So, well done. Far too many. What was it? Jaeger bombs. It felt like I was like 20 again. So not good. Too old for stags now, man. sure there's plenty more.
I was about to say, I'd need 2 fucking days to recover, I think.
Same. I had to come back for a little, intermediate, work nap today. I was like, Jesus. All right. Your blitzers have started as well, Daniel.
They have, mate, yeah. We were fuck knows. 6, 7? I should probably know, shouldn't I, off the top of my head? I think this one's Blitz 7. We've called this one Blitz 7, but I feel like it's number 6, really, because I feel like there was one where we did 2 launches for it. I can't remember exactly. Let's call it Blitz 7. Fuck it, yeah. No, really good, yeah. We matched our highest numbers for Blitz. So, yeah, we've got another big group. Just take on another coach as well. So Charlotte Fisher has now joined the team, which is really good. So we had Bex as well before, but she was helping with the last intake. So now we've got Charlotte on board as well to help out. So we're up to 6 now, 6 coaches. And yeah, we realized as well, me and Mike realized it only today, that Blitz is now a year old. So our first Blitz was last July.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we've had, over 400 people, including this one now. It's over 500 people through Blitz. 450. I can't remember. Fuck it. It's around that. Between 400 and 500 people through Blitz. And it's just been obviously started out as we'll see how it goes with the group coaching thing too. But to be honest, being like our main, I suppose one of the main things that we're probably maybe known for, what some people know us for now, in terms of how they find us, and we're sort of taking on that, I suppose, swimming world kind of diet plan, Joe Wicks 90-day plan sort of niche, because people need it. It's one of those things where there's not enough, there's sort of this gap between books that can help you, like a James Swift book or something, right? You pay 10 quid for, and then one-to-one coaching, and it's like nothing really in the middle, and there's no accountability, there's no coaching, and it's kind of for us a way of we can create a coaching program that actually has an accountability element to it, an education element to it, an actual individualized part to it, rather than just, again, following someone on Instagram. It gives you content and stuff like that. So it's gone really well. So yeah, the guys pretty much, yeah, like I said, now it's got 3 girls, 3 guys, involved in it, and it's got a nice little mix.
Look at you. We're getting more blokes
through. Oh, I know. Well, the next one's gonna be a guy, don't worry. The next one needs to be a guy. Like, it's just there's too many females now. It's done. That's it. next coach is gonna be a guy. So if you're a guy coach and you're interested in joining us, let me know in the future.
I like the fact that Dan Biceps and Banner does not have a HR department at all. That's you, isn't it? You're the HR department. You're like, grow up.
Yeah, me and Mike have a discussion and we go, do we reckon that'd be a good fit? Yeah, let's do it. Go for it. Cool. it's good to see, and like I say, it's bonkers really. Like we only brought on Joe last February, so that, yeah, 15, what's that, 17, yeah, nearly 18 months we've gone from having our first coach to our fourth. So yeah, it's all right, it's going all right. It's just so we don't make a big song and dance about it, we just crack on, keep on keeping on and all that shit. But yeah, the next Blitz will be in October. I think that'll be it then for the year. And then we're just going to have the set dates each and every year. Like January, April, June, October.
Beautiful.
And yeah, hopefully some exciting things come in with it as well, which we'll hopefully announce at some point soon. Maybe for the next intake, but certainly be ready for 2022 January. There'll be a big, big change for that Blitz. So yeah, we'll see. Exciting times.
Basically, if you're thinking about doing it, do it then. So do it in the next intake, and then redo it if you didn't get the exciting stuff. Yeah, basically, yeah.
So the price might go up as well for that point. In January as well, it might go up slightly, maybe £10 or something, just to cover the cost of what we're trying to plan to do. But we'll see. Wow. Never know.
That is basically, guys, you're getting a. That is just my fee. Basically, you need £10 per person. My fee to come on and do an introductory
video lecture. Yeah, you're gonna get a guest lecture from Tom. Yeah,
I'm gonna talk about the biomechanics.
God, no, that'll put people off. No, don't. No, we're not gonna put them off. Don't put them off.
I have nothing to do with it. I'll be like, eat a burger, then don't eat anything the rest of the day. Crack on. Good.
Yeah. No, it's all going. It's all going good. We're sort of restructuring things a little bit now, so me and Mike have got more time to take on some more clients as well, which is cool. But do some other things as well, which we're gonna do.
Lovely.
Yeah,
kind of moves on to me.
Bringing the podcast back as well at some point, but yeah, I've Jesus got to say Christ. That as well.
Like bringing some back, because obviously I mean, I say this with like kind of bated breath. My workload, May, PT Core is almost done. And it's obviously taken my life for the last year, that there is a chance that I may open up my online coaching again. So if you're interested, then drop me a line, because I may start kind of advertising it a little bit. I've had various requests and people just saying, do you do it? But I've always been like, party line's been, no, not anymore. but yeah, I might do it. I might open it up basically mainly on a performance basis. So if you're training for something or you want to get stronger, faster, better, it'll be like that. I'm not like a cuddler like Dan, unfortunately. I'm not going to talk nutrition with you every week, but I will talk everything else. Yeah, I know enough about nutrition. Don't worry. We always say this, and it's like, oh yeah, just both. Dan plays down how much he knows about training, but he knows about, he's probably in the top 1% of all trainers. So I'm not there with nutrition, but yeah, probably better than most. You know?
But I think with nutrition as well, though, like how much of it you actually need to know on a, like you said, on a scientific level is not really that important. But the fact is, you can coach people well and you understand human beings, which is half the battle.
No.
Genuinely, like people,
can't don't get that. Anybody, mate.
Nah. Can't. Mate, what's this one? We've got chocolate truffle. We've both got the same one.
We're going protein bar review. I feel like we've done this one previously, or I've done it. I don't know. But you've got the same one as me, so therefore we think we haven't done it. I don't know. We need to order some more as well. So we'll get on the ordering bandwagon. And I feel like I'm going to talk about, some people have asked, obviously I talked to Dan pre-show about the food meal prep service. So I'm just finalizing stuff kind of today to see where I'm going with that. Because obviously I've been trying out some stuff. Let's just say it hasn't gone as well as I hoped. But yeah, we'll see. I'll give an honest review next week and we'll see what direction I've gone in. And obviously Henry Dunmore might be getting a call from me very soon. So he knows that. Pays to know people, doesn't it, then? He's all right.
That's fine.
All right, so protein bar. This one review. Is
Swolsome Foods chocolate truffle protein bar. I also had a message from Joe, who listens to the show, and he said, Joe listens to the show. There you go. He said that he never usually like falls for like the whole like marketing hype around protein bars and stuff. He thinks they're all just like overpriced, overhyped. But after listening to our protein pantry review of the birthday cake Joe baked, where he was like, right, I've got to get some. And he was like, oh my God, they're fucking quality. And I was like, told you. We didn't make it up. But I told you. But yeah, shout out to Joe. Joe's not at the shoot, I don't think. I can't remember.
We've literally, your client who owns a facility is now wholesaling them, like taking them from wholesale. Like, what the hell, Protein Pantry? Like, just sponsor us already. All right. We've got Swolsome Foods, but their bars have been good as bars go. But as Protein Pantry level, they haven't been as great, right? So, but their vegan protein has been good, we have got to admit. So this is no added sugar, milk, chocolate, milk and soy, whey protein, blah, blah, blah. 13 grams of fat, 27 grams of carbs, 20 grams of protein, your chocolate truffle protein bar. It looks chewy.
Yeah, too chewy. You can hear it, how true it is. It's just like once you've had the chocolate brookie from Protein Pantry, this is game over for any chocolate based bar.
Yeah.
Too chewy.
Too chewy.
I'm still chewing on it. I should have finished it.
What's even worse for me, right? I'm on a fresh pair of Invisaligns today, so my teeth hurt. This is not good.
Not helping.
No.
No, too chewy, mate. Too much. Fucking still chewing.
I've just swallowed it.
That's a bit out of me.
It's like, that's almost like that hard caramel, isn't it? And I'm not a fan of hard caramel. It's like how much you have to chew through. So I'm guessing it's got hard caramel in it, isn't it?
Oh. No.
Is it not?
That's just a fucking fiber shit.
Really?
Nah. Sorry for some foods, but not sold me.
That's way too chewy. The top bit's nice, and then the chewiness is bad.
They should put more R&D into their vegan bars. All their research and development needs to go into the vegan bars.
Yeah, they were more
straight away.
They were more cakey and lovely, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just with the vegan bars, pump that up to 20 grams of protein somehow. Add in the soy crispies from that other bar.
Yeah, I about to say, put the soy crispies in. That's how you do that straight away. Easy.
Yeah. All right. They can't be worth a lot of calories, can they? Right, the old soy crispos. And yeah, then I feel like they're winning. And do all the same bars, because like the taste is all right, right? So the taste is good. It's just the texture of it being so chewy is not great. So swole some foods, as we said. If you're going to go purchase from there, click off that site, type in Protein Pantry again, and then go to that one. But yeah, if you're a vegan, crack on. Order from Source and Foods, they're good. If you're not, then yeah, look elsewhere. All right. Yeah. We've got a couple of topics to go through. Basically, I've written, excuse my French, Instagram piece of shit on my notes, and we're going to talk just a general recovery protocols, because I mentioned it, I think I was talking about it with Luke earlier this week, and he was like, what do you mean, like going to sleep? No. Yep, exactly what I mean. So just, I don't think people don't tend to take their recovery that seriously. They just kind of ugh. And again, Dan doesn't take it that seriously because he's feeling tired at the moment. Well, poor Dan. And I probably don't take it that seriously sometimes, but there's certain stuff you can implement. And yeah, basically it's just advice for maybe your clients and yourselves maybe. So I think as trainers, we're not very good at it as well. Kind of burn at both ends, don't we? So, all right. So
I do, yes.
Instagram piece of fucking crap. So this story I sent down.
I mean, that's putting it nicely, mate. That's putting it nicely, I think.
It is, Matt. So
Should I read out the title so they can get an idea of it? Because then they'll know why it probably deserves a much. Belle Gibson, the influencer who lied about having cancer.
Beautiful.
That makes you scum of the earth, doesn't it?
Really. I kind of want to watch the documentary. So I'm assuming it's on like BBC Three or something like that, or online. So the new BBC documentary, Bad Influencer, The Great Insta Con. Explores the downfall of one of Instagram's first super influencers, told through those who followed, adored, and tried to mirror her lifestyle. So if you are one of those people who followed Belle Gibson, who was obviously doing pretty well for herself by going through a crazy amount. So I think, I wanted to cover this with Dan, just because like I actually saw a meme today of, it was like, you remember when your parents used to tell you that don't believe everything you hear on TV. And then we're probably telling our parents, don't believe everything you know on there. So yeah, she, Belle Gibson, is an online presence. Obviously, I don't know how many followers she had, but yeah.
300,000,
more than, obviously. So it could be anything. But I'm assuming that was back in 2013 when she first died, right? And then I'm assuming that's quite a lot for way back then as well. So
it's enough. Must have been nearly when Instagram first started, I'd have thought.
Yeah, must have made a little bit of an impact, right? So I was saying it was like when I saw a meme, it was like, it's kind of reminded me of that. Of the fact that you remember your parents told you not to believe everything on TV, and now we kind of have to tell our parents and everybody, don't believe everything you read on the internet. Maybe just there's a lot of crap on there, right? So basically, she had Belle Gibson said that she had 4 months to live, and she cured her inoperable brain cancer through healthy eating. I mean,
that's what you call being a scumbag.
I just thought it was an interesting topic.
The thing is, well, like, I don't like the thing is here, I wouldn't ever lay like blame or like judgment on anyone who would then believe that if they were in that position, because I think you're probably so desperate, you'll do anything to get rid of it, right? So if you hear that, I don't think you would think straight, or, you know, you just wouldn't have the same logic that someone else would have if they didn't have that, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. You know, people would be like, oh, how could you believe that? Well, like, I can see how you could believe that if you were desperate for anything to work and anything that you're willing to try anything, basically, and what you were doing medically wasn't working. It's the whole alternative medicine whole thing. That's why they the spiel there, that's why they make, again, so much money from these people.
Just some of these quotes, right? So obviously they're telling it from the point of view of like this girl Kylie. So she couldn't help but make comparisons because she was undergoing daily chemo, losing her hair, and this Bell woman wasn't losing her hair. Like, and she had about to have like an 18th kind of injection and lumbar puncture, and then she was just like, maybe she's doing it all wrong. Maybe she should, she literally came out and said, was like, chemo wasn't working. I should come off and try clean eating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely insane. So it's also the case of like, that she was obviously a trusted physician, which obviously you become, like, throughout Instagram, you can kind of get there. There's plenty of all that kind of stuff. I think I saw something on VShred the other day. I was like, VShred is not just a person. VShred has about 20 to 30 people working for VShred. And guess what? Probably about 28 of them are just marketing strategizers, data analysts, all that kind of stuff to make sure people click on the right thing to be able to sell their crappy products, which I'm assuming this probably goes down this way. So this person was lying that she was obviously selling her clean eating book, this kind of stuff, and donating a portion of her app sales and her book to charity, which she didn't do. And that's, oh, mate. It just was crazy. And it's just crazy that the people in like wellness can have that and be taken advantage of. And it's just, I'm hoping it kind of lays into, people can be a little bit more wary on Instagram. That probably people who have listened to this podcast are probably okay with it, like, but there's also charlatans that we know of that were like, maybe not. Like, this makes Joel Seedman look like an okay guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the thing, right? Is like, I've got an email coming out tomorrow or today as you listen to this, it's out today, about a doctor who sells his own range of supplements. And like, there's this whole thing about, oh, but are they really harming anyone? Yes, they are. They are harming people, like, in my opinion. Not to the same degree at this, to this level. But they are harming people because people are putting their trust in other people. Like, I think with the doctor thing, my issue with it mainly isn't the fact that they're selling supplements that don't work. It's the appeal to authority. It's the fact that you're a doctor and you're using your position of authority to manipulate people to buying your products, to line your pockets, by buying stuff that doesn't work. And they will look at you as if you're a doctor and you know what you're doing, and that therefore they should trust you. You're going to trust a doctor more than someone on Instagram who's talking about fat loss. Of course you are. And the thing that annoys me is it's like with this Instagram woman, she's obviously affected people's lives, like how long they live for, you know, their treatment. Like, that's really, like, that's the highest level. The next level down, you've got then people that just con people for money, because that's ultimately what this, you know, this doctor's doing with the supplements and stuff, is you're just conning people out of their money, which they've worked hard for. You know, who knows how hard they had to work for that, but also then what that money could have done for them elsewhere, et cetera, et cetera, right? And then you've got someone like Joel Seedman, who's just a quack, but ultimately it's just, you're just wasting people's time with their training. It's not as efficient as it could be. It's kind of not quite as bad. Do you know, there's a scale, isn't there? I think.
Yeah.
And like you say, it makes him look like, and it's like, he's just an idiot. He's just like, he just thinks he knows best, but he doesn't. And he's not harming anyone, you know, like, in my opinion. That, you know, the supplement guys harm people to a certain degree, but this is just like next level, like, just awful, like awful, awful human being, you know. to do that.
I just wanted to raise awareness of the charlatans and people just realizing like, yeah.
Well, TikTok's the next one. Right, like you said with this, because she on Instagram 2013, she must have been one of the first influencers. The next thing coming through is now TikTok, where I think things like this are happening. Like you hear stories of people like this, big influencers, younger people are watching it, being taken in by it.
It just came to my head as well, because like there was a couple of people obviously who are training to be trainers, and they're looking up at some of the influencers and stuff like that, and then they're going like, oh, but they look incredible and they say they follow this plan, so that plan is probably good for me. I'm like, obviously it differs from maybe what I'm telling them to do and how they should probably train as humans. And they're like, well, why should I do that? They've been following that bodybuilding split. Like, they look incredible on that diet. I'm like, well, they're not you. And also, like, they probably don't do that. That's the thing. They've done it because it's easy to do. That's about it. And therefore, they probably feel achieved. Like, will feel to be achievable when you complete it. But you're like, oh, I haven't got exactly the same results. Like, setting up for failure kind of thing. It's just like, all right, let's like, obviously, they've got the level of success, like, business-wise or whatever. Perhaps, we don't know. Instagram is normally a highlight reel, but they could be like did you? There was that story of an influencer coming to take a picture in like first class of like the airline, and then like walked back down to where she was sitting on economy. Nothing wrong with sitting on economy. I sit in economy all the time. Like, it's cheaper. Like, I'm just sitting here for a while, then I get off and be in a nice place. So. I'm like, fair enough. If you want to splurge it, then do it. But sometimes I don't see the point. Like, so very strange. Just, I thought that was absolutely brilliant. Like, somebody like posted it and then like took a picture of us in the back. Yeah. It's the whole like, take a picture next to this nice car. Yeah. Never said it was mine.
The world we live in is crazy, and people do that. It's so funny. Just to look good. Like, I posted, didn't I, on Instagram. Stop trying to look like you're doing the right thing and do the right thing. It's not what you post on Instagram. It's not the salad you post on Instagram. It's not you telling your PT, oh yeah, I'm doing everything at home. I'm doing all the stuff and then not doing it. Like, what you do when no one's watching dictates your results. That's the reality of the situation. You can say what you want to people, and you can post the salads. You can put hashtag wellness, healthy, and all this sort of stuff. It's what you do when no one's watching, when only you're there, only you know. That's stuff that gets you results at the end of the day. That's where people fall down. That is where people fall down.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But anyway, mate. All right. Moving on to slightly fitness-based stuff, just awareness of Instagram. It can be bullshit. Recovery methods. So it just sparked me, because I've written, I think in unit 7, I talk about recovery systems for like your clients. And it's just something that I think it maybe sits in like the coaching outside of sessions kind of thing, and maybe you talk about it from definitely a nutritional aspect, but I was like, there's probably a lot of physical mental stuff that you can do as well. And there was a good can't remember the lad's name now, I can't remember his name, but on Strong Bite Science, he did put a little post up on recovery methods and talking about passive, semi-passive, and like active recovery methods. So passive being sleep, rest, sauna, and cold therapy. Any of those are good, Dan?
I mean, I don't know much about saunas and cold therapy anymore. I don't think the science has changed on them. Has it?
Don't
has
think changed? So, no. Like, obviously, when I was writing, like, because I wanted to talk about these in the course, and I actually couldn't remember the word for cryotherapy and, like, cold therapy, I just went, really a cold thing, can't remember. Like, and submitted that to UK Active as like the thing I was going to be talking about. I was like, no, cryotherapy.
I think there's a good placebo effect for that. I think there's an element of,
well, the science is,
you
like,
think it's going
to
help.
You want the inflammation to happen, right? And then, like, obviously we would post it with it in football, like the football player that gets ice treatment, correct? Because we need them probably to nullify the pain. And then maybe for them, they might be able to play at the weekend, but then we'll figure it out long term. But the chances are that's just to take the pain away. We probably want the inflammatory response. So probably it's just best to chill it out and then do a little bit of it to take away the pain. Probably hot sauna is probably the way to go in terms of range of motion release, because you realize that warm muscles, when we get warmer, we will move more. So maybe we do that more, kind of passive stuff, and go do that kind of stuff. Yeah, that'd be what I would say. Resting can be, I talked about this previously, or just like, I think we were talking about like power naps and stuff like that. You don't have to fall asleep. I can quite happily just like sit down or have a little lie down on the couch for like 20 minutes. And then I feel like, right, now let's go. Finish the day. I feel like just a little mental shutdown can be quite good. And sleep protocols. Obviously, do you wear your Aura ring when you sleep?
Yeah.
What's it say about you?
Nothing crazy, really. Like, I don't get enough REM sleep, but I get plenty of deep sleep and my sleep's usually all right. That's it, really. I just think it's one of those things where, from studying it and from looking at it, like, I can tell, for example, after basketball, I don't sleep well, because if I do from 7 till 9, have food when I come back and then go to sleep, bad night's sleep, like resting heart rate takes a long time to come down. But like, it tracks your resting heart rate over time, as you sleep. And the idea being that the quicker it gets down, the quicker you can be more restorative. So if it takes ages for it to come down, it means that you're not getting enough restoration, I suppose, in terms of readiness and things like that.
Yeah.
I've not seen it, a massive correlation with it. Like, I know when I've not slept well, you know, like, it's one of those things. But I think they could probably actually, for some people, provide more anxiety than actual help, because they're thinking about it.
They're like, oh no,
they're being tracked. So
yeah, I think so as well. Is it worth not knowing than knowing, kind of thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Then we move on to, so you got your passive, so sleep, rest, sauna, cold therapy, basically doing fuck all, letting your rising heart rate do chill. And then you've got your semi-passive, which is nutrition, massage, and static stretching. So you can probably talk from a nutrition point of view. How is it for recovery?
Well, it's one of the top things behind sleep. Like, sleep and nutrition will get you 90% of the way there. All these other things might get you 1%, but you know, you need to be throwing in calories, protein, carbs, and fats. Like, there's no real distinguishing thing. It's why straight after games, you know, we used to just get the players to eat Domino's pizza. It's like, you at that point just need to start the recovery process from going from catabolic, where you're breaking your body down, to anabolic, where you're building it up. And the way to do that is to give it an excess of calories. The quickest way to do that is high calorie dense foods. And it's one of those things where it's not the whole like anabolic window where like, oh, you can eat as much junk as you want in that time frame. It's not about that. It's about understanding when your next bout of exercise is and trying to make sure you recover and fuel yourself. Again, if you want to get pedantic about protein feedings and stuff, you can look into that as well. But like I just said then about the O-ring, is like, you're trying to give the players food as quickly as possible so they can digest it as far away from their sleep as they can. That kind of thing. But those two things are the most important. That, again, a lot of people don't get right. A lot of people will use a flipping Theragun before they even worry about their post-workout meal or their sleep. Like, they will.
Right? Like, I'm going to use a Theragun. I'm going to do this massage bit, but I've only been getting 5 hours for the last week. All right, okay, that's probably not fantastic, is it then? You're probably preparedness is not great. That brings me on to massage. Massage is cool. I don't think it fixes everything. Feels good. I tend to only have like tissue work, and I've had a bit of so I've got a little bit of neck issue right now, which is just annoying more than anything else. That I've had a bit of acupuncture, I guess, as recovery stuff. One session with a crazy man, some Italian dude who decided to like do proper like acupuncture, and I'm like, it might work, but like, no, don't really have much success with it, I don't think. It's like, each their own. If you think it works, we'll crack on. Obviously Doug normally just sticks like one or two needles in like the particular point that he really wants to hit, but this guy was like flicking it, so slightly annoying. I was like, it's really,
I didn't like it when I had it done. I had it done near my like neck, like trap.
Yeah, I've had it like in my neck and like my shoulders and stuff. I'm still convinced, because he put it right in like my armpit, like the back of my armpit as well. And for a week, if I was like lifted my arm up to put my clothes on, it would like, there'd be a sharp boosh, like I've been punched there every now and again. I'm like, is he punched? I asked Doug, like Aubrey, the normal osteopath I see. I was like, is he punctured something here? Like, could you just check? I was like, it's not visible to me. So static stretching is an interesting one. So just a quick thing, like the static stretching gets poo-pooed a lot, right? for a recovery protocol, absolutely fucking fine. I don't understand why people were like, it's nice to have a long, good, long stretch. You feel better afterwards, I always feel. And there's like basically two areas, for my opinion, that are basically prerequisites and non-negotiables that you have to go in static stretch if you're one of my clients. And that's your T-spine and your hips, basically. Basically, the two areas which are the most mobile in your body, you fucking go stretch them, because it's a horrible feeling when you're all locked up in your, in my opinion, your T-spine is like the worst one. Like if you can't move here, you're fucked in all kind of sport and whatever. So there's those, if we look at like the, so you go into PT core, right? We go into like the mobility stability model. If we don't unlock those two and they're the most mobile things, screwed. So spending some time static stretching there actually does help. And the whole poo-pooing of like the complete overreaction of like static stretching decreases your power. And I think we poo-pooed this days ago. That research was done in the 80s. We've moved on. We're almost 35 years removed, I think, from that research. And that still sticks in the level three now, that research. And we know that it's probably a blend of, and then obviously a good thing from that research came out was dynamic stretching. Like that's a good thing that came out of it, and people spent more time probably doing moving stretching. And I'm one of those people during warm-ups, but like probably not for recovery protocols, probably not as much. You kind of chill it down through some dynamic stretching and then end up being doing static at the end, or probably in your own time you probably don't do that much dynamic stretching, but you could do more static, I think, just chilling out on the floor, which is perfectly plausible. So I think the best answer is a blend of both, and don't poo-poo it. Basically spend some time. And then the last one is active. So self-massage goes into this. So probably the Ferragun bullshit. Meditation is on this list. And like I think this needs to be from the right people. And me and Dan are not the right people for meditation. And like, as much as I'd like to think I could do it, or both of us, we're just like, I don't know whether it's not like my mind too active to shut down kind of thing. I just feel silly. And like, I don't know. I'd rather, instead of meditation, I'd rather sit there and watch football. That's my,
I think it's one of those things where I think you need to practice it a lot. I think it's a skill that you have to practice. And again, like on those lists of things there that, I mean, it's near the bottom. In it,
it's near the bottom.
Help you with that.
Like, you're gonna put a rank in order on all these.
The amount of effort that's required to get better at that, and to like, you know, I just don't think it's worth it. To be honest, that'd be my opinion on it. But that's just a very old school view, probably.
Because it also it requires effort to do it as well, right? It requires you to go out and do it. And then the last one is walking, which I think kept me sane through lockdown. I used to go out on like literally 10,000 step walks and just go. I did it the other week where I was like, I didn't have anything to do on a Friday, and I walked the length of the Regent's Canal back to like Stratford from like Regent's Park. Because I was like, 2.5 hours, off we go to a point, and it was nice. So it was absolutely why not. So yeah, just the three categories. If just when you're thinking about it, giving your clients advice where they can kind of fit in, it might be like a little bit key to maybe they're able to chill out a little bit more and not worry about certain things, or maybe they're not recovering from sessions as well. So just think passive. So that's just like things that you don't have to do, but they just kind of happen. So just a change of environment. So cold, hot, quiet, but you aren't doing much. Semi-passive. So kind of doing things, but you're not doing a lot. So just like, nutrition, you kind of have to do it, but you're not doing that much, are you? Static stretching, that kind of thing. And then the active is, there's a conscious effort to do it, which I think is the meditation and the walking will probably be the big ones there. I think it just needs a little bit more respect than it's given from a general point of view. We're all about health, aren't we now? Health and wellness, Dan. We are in that. Were we in the fitness industry anymore? Or are we the health, wellness and fitness industry? I think it's more towards that, isn't it?
Wellness. Ugh.
Wellness. I don't know. I don't know where that word came about. No.
Just don't like it.
I mean, you're a wellness coach. That's what I'm classing you as now.
Am I? No.
All right, mate. Any other biz?
No, not from me.
Not from me. All right. So the next time you'll hear from us, we may be European champions. So, we'll just...
Josh,
we'll just leave you with it's coming home, guys. We'll see you next week.
Catch you in a bit.